Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we're talking about how to expel negative energy, and I just had to do so, actually, because we're having some technical issues, so we had to restart the show, but we are here now for another hour, and we are talking about negative energy, and the phone is ringing. What a morning. What a morning. Neil?
I'm here. What?
right now, we don't have any callers.
Did we have one before?
We did. So we have to, we had a couple. So
we have no callers. So you're telling me to improvise by way of sign language. Okay.
Well, I'm trying to teach you sign language.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
They say primates do learn sign language fairly easily. Shouldn't be...
It's funny because I actually got to meet Coco the gorilla, and that's a long story.
It is that story, or I thought you weren't supposed to talk about that story.
Yeah, I had a great impact on Coco when I met her because I was talking to her psychically, telepathically, and she made motions to want to mate with me. And it disturbed, what was her name? Not Florence, but...
I forgot her name. It's not
the gal
Jane Austen, but...
No, Jane Austen.
Not Jane Austen. What am I thinking? Jane Goodall. Jane
no,
Austen.
No, not Jane Goodall. That was the...
She's not a writer, nor...
I forget her name, but Francine or maybe...
Francine was her name, I think.
Yeah.
It's weird. Florence has been coming up. The name Florence, obviously the hurricane that's currently on its way into the southern part of our country
that's
is named Florence,
down.
But I've seen Florence, that name, several times in the past few days, aside from that. So
maybe you'll
it's
see
funny that you said it.
Maybe you'll see a nightingale. Coco wanted to mate with me, and it was something on the, and it was horrible for it to, it was disturbing to her, Francine. And she called me into her office and said, what are you doing? This doesn't normally happen. Maybe it's because you have a beard. She couldn't figure out what it was. And I had to tell her I was a psychic and that I was communicating to Coco as the best way I could. And that maybe something got through to her. And she found that very interesting. But of course, it went on from there because I was getting love letters. Coco was sending little letters and stuff like that. So anyways, it's a long story. How did we get on to that? Sign language.
I made a joke
sign
about
language.
You being a primate. That was the joke.
Primate, yeah.
And it's so funny because one of our callers just called this number. So weird. That was on previously.
I'm
going to email that person. I don't either, but anyway.
I might not be being heard. Anyways, so... how do we get rid of negative energy? First of all, one way to get rid of negative energy is through visualization. I think that's pretty important. That if you sense there's negative energy around you, that you use a strong process of visualization, energy-wise, to expel it from your energy field. So that's one common way is through visualization. And if that's not working, or if it doesn't work, then you have to go through different means. But when we get to the idea of visualization, why some people fail at that is because they don't channel the visualization into their energy field. They kind of keep it into their mental state. And if you keep it in your mental state and you're just sort of thinking about it mentally, you're only doing half the trip, half the requirements.
Well, in terms of dealing with energy on a non-physical level, because if you're in the mental state only, then you're still in the physical plane. You're saying visualization and trying to elevate the transformation of energy to a higher level. You have a strange look on your face.
No. Yeah. Well, in response to that, how does one know when they're visualizing something on a purely mental level as opposed to something deeper on a more psychic level, a more astral level, you know? So the difference is, how do you do that? There are people who aren't interested in psychic energy, and they have just mental, they just naturally, something negative happens, so they naturally start to think things towards that negativity. I could kill him. I could kill her. I wish they were off the planet. I've got to stop that person. So there are different ways to activate a visual energy and also incorporate language and thought into it, because we all do it. We don't have to be psychic to do it. And do we think really that that's going to work? No, because we don't put, when we're really instinctually involved in getting rid of something negative, we don't think of it as an energy field. We think of it as a mental field. Oh, and we incorporate what? Our mental images into a language. Like I said, I could kill that person. I wish that person was off the face of the earth. Why are they doing this? I wish they would go away. So actually, you don't have to be psychic to do that. But when people do that, do they really expect that that's going to work? No, it's out of a mental, emotional expression that they're just saying it. Now, when you're psychic, it's different. When you're using energy fields, if you're not even psychic, but you're going to do it with energy, it's different, because what you're saying now, you're putting into a category of your mind that says, I'm going to do something with these words. I'm going to convert it into energy and make it happen. Now, this becomes more creative visualization, not just instinctual, emotional visualization. Now we've got it to a higher level that we're doing something with a sort of creative visualization, that what we're actually feeling and sensing about any particular negative energy is going to be destroyed or corrupted by our very thoughts intermixed with emotion. So see where the difference, are you seeing where there's a jump in the difference? In terms of how the one's approach to using energy is, like we said before, one is just instinctual or emotional release. I could kill that person. We say that. The second way, the energy of how to get rid of negative energy beyond that would be to say, okay, I'm going to put that into a creative energy field and send it out. Now you're doing something different. So now it becomes a little bit more concrete, however astral or psychic, because now you have to know, how are you going to do that? How are you going to take your own energy and thoughts and emotions and put it into a vessel or vehicle, if you will, that will directly eliminate the negative energy. Now it's a different field. You know, we're not saying, I'm going to call the police, I'm going to get my lawyer on this, I'm going to get my big brother to hit him. What now, or now you're, now we're doing it with just sheer energy. But if we don't know how to do it, we may think we know how to do it, but if we don't know how to do it, that energy is just not going to even work. It's not going to find a vessel through which to go through. So now, in terms of getting rid of negative energy, you have to know how to create the rocket ship. I want to go to the moon. Well, you can create the rocket ship and understand astrophysics and whatnot. Now you have to understand how it's done. So that's a whole different ballgame. Far from just saying, I could kill that person, or I wish that person would go away, or I'm going to go call a lawyer. Now you're using your own body, mind, and soul, and psychic abilities to put it into an energy. So first of all, you have to visualize, what does it look like? How do you send that energy out? What's it, how's it going to be transported? Is it just a thought that flies out like a bee from a beehive? Or do you have to put it into something like a tunnel? Like, what are you, what are those things, Kristen, when you have like four stories in a building and they put the message in the little chute and it shoots down to the second floor and it's in a container and the guy opens up the door.
Well, like at a bank, they do it too when they have outdoor customers that drive through and there's that little tube that they mm-hmm. send through to the teller.
Exactly.
Back and forth. I don't know what
See,
it's called.
The teller doesn't say to the driver in the car, wait a minute, you're going to get your receipt back. I'm visualizing it now through a tunnel. They have to use a mechanical concrete metal device that shoots it through with air and it shoots through whatever. And it's right there. Or they hit the door and the door allows it to go through this, the passage and it's on the other side. So there's different ways to do it. But that's the physical way. But you see, in order to have done it that way, someone had to visualize and create the mechanism through which that would work. And it becomes a concrete thing. Well, in the psychic world, you're not going to be able to visualize a concrete thing. You have to visualize something abstract and without, with the molecules are not solid enough to create a passage of energy that's solid or material. So now you have to do it through the mind. Like the magician, if you will, the magician that makes the rabbit appear not out of the hat, but now it's behind the red curtain and it was formerly sitting right there in his hand. Well, that's illusion. That's creative illusions and tricks. We're trying to do the same thing with energy and visualize it in such a way that it actually becomes in the astral field a concrete, in the astral field, a concrete energy, astrally speaking, that can deliver the energy to the proper source or destiny. Now we got the idea of how it is. Just like how the wheel was invented, first as an idea, then a concrete wheel, and the whole world was changed in creation of the wheel. Now we're doing the creation of how to put something in that directly destroys negative energy. So let's say you have a horrible virus. What do you need for, you know, you need to get an injection that has the right, if you don't have the right stuff, it's not going to fight the
you
virus.
You mean medication? Well, usually a virus you can't treat it with medication, like an antibiotic. So, let's say you have an infection.
Okay,
so you have an infection and you go to the doctor to have it treated with.
Yeah.
An antibiotic.
Well, first of all, he has to have the right prescription. He has to have the right thing. Or if you have pain in your joints, you take what?
Maybe ibuprofen.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
You have to. You can't take vitamin A. You have.
Well, some people go a more holistic route and might take things like arnica and there's homeopathic ways to treat it. But
it's
yes,
directed
it's a physical.
For that.
Yeah, exactly.
Even there, you have to use the right homeopathic formula to get to that place. If you go into the health store or whatever and you're looking for herbs or something natural, you say, well, what's your problem? Joints. Oh, we got the thing for joints over here. So everything's according to category. The assemblage of the remedy has to be assembled in such a way that it directly attacks the source. So if you're going to visualize how to get rid of negative energy, and you're going to send that, quote, capsule towards it, you have to know what the capsule is composed of. The plastic outside can be any color. That's dissolvable, and that's inert. But what's inside the capsule? So how would one imagine, I'm going to send this, but like a pharmacist, I have to put it together in such a way that it hits the right source.
Right, and not only that, but how to separate your emotion from the energy field that you're trying to send out, because if you're too emotionally charged about a situation, then the energy that you send out is going to fail.
Yeah, when was the last time you heard a pharmacist give you a prescription over the that was prescribed to you? And she hands it to you and she says, okay, we have to have a conference. I wanted you to know that as I was putting these pills in the bottle, I was really emotional about it. I was going to help you. And you're going to be helped because I put a lot of emotion into this bottle. You're going to look at the pharmacist like, what a great, or you're going to think, what a nut. So the emotion, it's the same thing in the astral realm. The emotions are fine, but they're sort of inert. It's hard because even though emotion is part of the energy, it's not the remedy. The emotion is not going to be the remedy. A pharmacist doesn't have to be an emotional person to hand you the prescription or to concoct it or whatever. And a psychic or a person getting rid of negative energy doesn't have to be emotional, but yet, because they live and breathe and they're a human being, emotion will be part of it.
Right. And not only that, you have to, obviously when people are sending out energy for a specific result, they are still dealing with the physical reality that they're in. I mean, that's what the energy is sent to change.
Sure.
So,
a pharmacist may say, oh, this is giving you a pain. I'm putting this for cancer, or I'm putting this for pain, or I'm putting this for a cold. They know what the element is, and of course their emotions are always a part of it. And if they're having a bad day, God forbid, and they do their prescription wrong because they're so emotionally involved in another thought, sure, that can happen. But in most cases, that doesn't happen. And you don't come back and say, my God, I got the wrong prescription. And the pharmacist says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm having a bad day, and I was thinking about my ex, and I did the prescription wrong. That's not going to work. So you have to be careful with emotion. And even in the psychic area, sure, you can use emotion, but stay rational. Stay rational because you are creating an energy field, capsule speaking, that is directly related to a target to eliminate energy. So some people who are into this will say, I mean the person no harm. This is for this is just to eliminate negative energy. They try to be ethically appropriate in their attempt to eliminate energy. Now, that doesn't mean that one can't say, damn it, I can't stand this person. I'm going to use creative energy to get rid of them. And they're growling the whole time. That's neither here nor there. I don't know if it's the best, if it's the healthiest thing to do. But sometimes we can't separate the molecules from the water. And so we can't separate the emotion from the attempt to hit the object. So there is a certain objectivity to energy fields that, in fact, become the effective method through which we send that energy.
Okay, and we have a caller. I don't know what happened with our the radio show a little earlier. So one of our callers is back that was there previously, and I don't think we're even showing up on the Blog Talk Radio site as live, which is very strange. Hi, 770, you're back.
Hello. Are you answering questions?
We are, but we can hardly hear you, and there's a lot of background noise on your phone.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Are you on a headset?
No. Can you hear me now?
That's better. That's a lot better.
Okay. I have a question about my boss. I was wondering if my intuition is right or not, as far as his, picking up on his energy, if he likes me or not.
If he likes you or not. Well, what's your name, first of all?
Shanika.
Shanika?
Yes.
How do you spell it?
Shanika.
Shanika. Shanika. Okay.
No.
And what's your birthday, Shanika?
Chanika.
Chanika. Shanika. Yes. We haven't ever spoken with you before. I would have remembered this name. Okay, and your birth date, please.
7/23/70.
You're cutting in and out.
Kind of muffled.
7/23/76.
7/23/76.
Yeah.
She is. She 35/8.
Okay,
35/8, and your boss. Do you have his birth date?
No, I don't have his birthday.
You don't have his birthday? That's okay. All right.
He's a Scorpio, though. He's November.
He's a Scorpio. Well, he's born in November. That gives us a little
or
bit
October.
Of a... No, she. Do you know he's born in November?
Huh?
For a fact?
Yes, uh-huh, for a fact, yes.
Yeah, he's born in November. So that presents a little bit more information. Well, Shanika, and you're... How old is she?
She's 42.
42 years old, so 7 years beyond her.
Yeah.
She's coming upon a change in a year.
But her question is does your boss like you? Well, I think, Shanika, your boss has an attitude that's difficult to read because he might be kind of critical and sharp and carries a little bit of dark energy anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at a person like that, you can't take it personally on one level because they carry themselves throughout life like that. And they've always, you know, they may joke or something and be okay, but they carry this energy that they're always critical about something and they're edgy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never quite know how to read them. But surprisingly enough, when people are like that and they seem to be negative towards someone, and then you ask them, what do you think of so-and-so? And they go, oh, they're okay. Because they have an attitude of critical analysis about everything, but that doesn't mean that they don't like the person. They're just critically inclined to express themselves that way. So do we think, if you will, well, Chris and I are putting this together in some respects to because you might somehow have some ideas, Kristen, that I'm not reaching. But for myself, I think you fit the category that most people do with this person, that there's always something wrong with everyone. No one pleases me completely. So you fit that category. Does he not like you? I mean, does it go to like, you're really not a person I like? No, I think that doesn't, I don't think you have to worry that the person just doesn't like you. I think what you need to consider is that you fit into the category that maybe you're not pleasing this person entirely, but nobody hardly does anyways. So there might be one issue where you kind of got, I might be wrong, but there might be one issue where you got, quote, scolded by this person, and they came on a little heavy, and you, and maybe that affected you into thinking, they don't like me. Did anything like that ever happen?
Well, no.
What gives you, okay, question. What gives you the impression they don't like you, or they have it in?
No, I'm asking, does he like me in a way that's more than just an employee?
Wait a second. Say that again.
I was asking, does he like me in a way that's more than just an employee?
Okay, that's what she said.
Attractive-wise? You mean like an attraction?
Yes, yes.
Are you attracted to him, I guess?
No, I just wonder if my intuition is picking up right on it or not.
Well, let me ask you something. You work, this is your superior, your boss or something?
Yes, it's my boss.
And has the boss seemed to be critical?
Does he seem to be critical?
Is he a critical person?
Not to me, unless it's just inwardly.
Wait, it's really, it's so broken
not
up.
Not to her.
Not to her, but she said something additionally. Is he critical with others? I thought she said something about that. Shanika?
Yes.
Is he, did you say he's not critical with you, but he is with others?
Yes, it seems that way.
Okay, that's what I, okay. See, I don't, the person doesn't have any, there may be things about you that the person's critical of on a work level basis, but that's the way he is towards everyone. Is this person attracted to you? Okay, so that's an entirely different approach to the read. And my answer would be that there is some form of attraction. That's what I think. So I went to correct the approach to your question, and after having gone through that he's somewhat critical and a little sharp, that does he have an attraction to you? I think mild. I think yeah. I don't think you're misreading that.
Okay.
What I mean, you're not attracted to him, Shanika?
No. Like that,
you know. Oh, so that's creating an uncomfortable situation because you're perceiving that he's got this energy towards you?
At times, because he seemed a little intense at times, and I don't really like all of that. And I think today I kind of caught him watching me from in between some clothes.
Creepy.
So.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
I was gonna ask her a question about her. What do you do? What's your job?
I work at a dry cleaners.
At a dry cleaners.
I press clothes at a dry cleaners.
That's so funny because didn't that come up with another caller about dry cleaners? And I said, oh, I used to work at a dry cleaners. That was one of my first jobs. I worked in a dry cleaners.
Let me ask you something, Shanika. Do you ever wear eyeglasses for any reason?
Eyeglasses, no.
Does he
wear eyeglasses?
No.
No reading glasses anywhere. Just want to know. Is there anybody that you know of in the at work environment that wears glasses?
The owner does.
The owner wears
the
glasses.
Owner. And have you have ever had contact with the owner?
Yes, uh-huh.
Does the manager, so this guy that you're asking about is the manager?
Well, he's my boss and then it's the owner.
Oh, yeah. And then the owner wears eyeglasses. So so what I'm thinking is this, that sometimes when we work in an area, we don't realize it, but we're working in a tribal zone.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when you apply that to the essence of the experience of life, you're working with people you've known in past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this connection that this man has with you also is infused with past life attraction.
Wow.
So there's a vibe that he's feeling about you. And of course, this is all psychic impression. There's a vibe that mm-hmm. he's feeling about you that's also instigated by an attraction from a past life. So he may catch himself looking at you and being attracted to you, and maybe not even knowing why, but he's attracted mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. So there's an intent that if, as a woman, you're feeling a woman vibe that this guy's looking at you or checking you out or whatever, and you're wondering, is he fantasizing about me or looking at me with some sense of lust or attraction?
Right.
Yeah, he's checking you out, to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's anything to be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what, you know, if that's all you needed to hear.
Yeah, because I was just wondering if my intuition was right, or was it just me just thinking that, or if I am right about it.
Well, I think you're, according to us, you're right. Mm-hmm. And if you noticed mm-hmm. him looking at you, and as a woman, you felt like he was mm-hmm. checking you out, so to speak, you're right.
Right. Right.
Okay, Shanika.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, and he is born in November, which may bring up kind of a, you know, I mean, I mean, we're all human beings, but the November date kind of brings up sexual energy.
Yeah, I feel like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You sound like him. You sound like him. Yeah. Okay, so here is, I believe this is Gwendolyn. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Did you call the 7818 number?
7818. Your direct line for reading?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did, because I actually have been wanting to schedule a reading. So I do have a half hour. When you get to that,
okay, well,
we'll take care of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so 39, 12, 3, 6, 26, 69.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's
this? 6, 26, 69.
She's 39, 12, 3. So what's going on, Gwendolyn?
Well, when I reflected back, I understand what both you and Neil were picking up on last time that we spoke, in that, yes, I'm experiencing two different types of world at one time and breathing through them. And I keep, you know, my awakening code is how I refer to it. It was 10-10. And now there's like, it's becoming rapid again. I feel like this is a big major crossroad. And we all know I didn't come here to fail. I'm not coming back here. I'm done with this. However, that being said, I was checking in because it's still going that route. It seems more manageable for me, but I feel like I'm still on both paths and it's coming to a head.
So what's specifically coming up for you, Gwendolyn? The physical's tripping you up a little bit, probably.
It's a very conscious effort to keep moving the pieces together along the line, because we have to keep going forward. So it's almost like when the crossing guard, she'll start out before the kids come off the sidewalk, but then she puts her arms around them to move everybody along. It's kind of like that. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. And I feel like that's what is going on, and I'm checking to make sure that is in fact. I mean, I know I'm not crazy, but I always look to affirmation from outward at times, and I always come to you guys.
I mean, you can call right after the show and
we'll call
the number and whatnot. But according to what you're saying in terms of your analogy with the crossing guard, what you're in, you have a job to do. So you're not, you didn't slip into some accidental energy that, and your, in other words, this is part of your job description in terms of getting through this karma.
Right.
So what your responsibility is, using your analogy, is one, you're assigned this karma. It's been assigned to you. You have to do it. And then two, you have to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is, well, I'm not crazy. No, you're not. I'm not acting irrationally. No, you're not. That's like the crossing guard saying, I know I have this job to do, but I think I'll drink while I'm doing it, or sleep on the job, or tell the children to walk in traffic. You're being responsible towards the karma of what you have to do. But that means that at any given moment, you have to be alert to a car turning, or, you know, you have to have your whistle in hand, your sign up, because you don't know if there's going to be some erratic driver that's going to upset your procedure. So, yes, there is a sense of potential eruption around you, but if you're grounded and you're well established in your mind, you're going to be able to deal with anything coming up.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not like, and it's not like some crazy driver is going to neglect what you're doing and drive and hit the children. We don't see any disaster like that. But there's an alert signal that is being addressed to you in terms of paying attention. And that's probably the mystery behind how to elaborate on that. Maybe we can't do it right now, but that's the part of the mystery. What's approaching you that you need to take care of?
Right. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that more in depth. I definitely will definitely have that reading. But okay, this is a good checkpoint, and I followed, of course, my intuition. So amen. Thank you. Thank you. Until we do the personal reading, and we'll go more in depth. Thank you so, so much, both of you.
Okay.
Okay. Take care, Gwendolyn.
Thank you. We'll do. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Okay. 201. Hello.
Hi, Kristen.
Oh, hey, it's Jackie. Hi.
Hi.
They both have a little bit of a rap. Yeah. 1-5, right?
65.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, what's new? Oh, gosh, are you back in school?
Yes, I'm back in school. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to go to class as we speak. So at some point, I'll just listen and mute myself. But I did get the house empty.
Wait,
I did get my sister eventually left the house this week. She had to. They had to escort her out. And I'm trying to get myself line everything up to be in a position to acquire the house before it's taken away. And I just want to see what you see in my chart in terms of moving forward.
So I'm unclear about the where.
Your sister's out. She wants to sell the house.
You're selling the house.
I'm going to try to buy the house, but I'm trying to buy it at a discount because there's a lot of repairs that must be done. So I have to get a bunch of estimates. I have to do a second appraisal, which I don't think is fair because I just had to do some work on the outside of it. But because of my position in the estate, they said I would have to do it.
And that financial obligation falls upon you to do it?
Yes.
Pay for the appraisal?
Yes. If not, the house would be gone. An investor would take it.
Wow.
Well, the fact that that one part of your obstacle was your sister who was escorted out because legally you were able to do that for whatever reason. She was escorted out by what? Legal? By police?
Yes. She was drained in the estate. She never paid rent for 7 years. No taxes, anything. They are violations on the house, and because I'm the administrator now, I had to fix the house.
So what about the back taxes? Did you have to pay those too?
I'm trying to figure out whether I'm just going to try to pay the lien off or purchase the house, and then the taxes get paid out of the lien.
Wow, that's terrible.
I mean, the lien would have to get paid out of the sale.
Hmm.
Okay, so see what's happening, Jackie, is that you're, again, like the previous caller, you're assigned this. This is karma for you. So you don't have much choice anyways because you're in it. The journey to get to your ideal destination is somewhat secured. The contingency is that you have to go through the energy fields to get there. The good news is that it has a good outcome. The difficult news is that you have to maneuver your way through to that outcome, and it's all wrapped up in karma. So let's say, for instance, we saw that the outcome was not good. We would say, oh boy, the outcome is not good. You gotta get out of this. We don't see that. The outcome is good, but the maneuvering to get there is going to be complicated, but ultimately successful. So
okay.
Even though you have to make some sacrifices and you're going, oh boy, I hope this is going to work. I hope that's going to work. I got to make a sacrifice here. That's part of the karma. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Okay.
If you have an option in terms of different choices as to how to get there, then that's something we could address too.
Okay. Okay. And those are the options that I'm looking at. Either just paying the lien, which is the best way. It's a lot cheaper. It's very expensive. It's over $60,000.
$60,000? Wow.
Yeah.
Or what's the other one?
Purchase the house and pay the lien from the purchase, which could run over $200,000. So by all means, I would prefer to pay the lien.
Yeah, I think your intuition's right. The
mm-hmm.
$60,000, I think you're right. I mean, if you weren't right, we would be getting a vibe that the other alternative is better, even though it sounds more complicated. We'd be getting that vibe.
But I guess I don't understand why the courts aren't demanding payment from the people that occupied the house, the sister and everything.
Well,
why?
That's one of the things that's going to have to be negotiated and presented to another judge, because the last judge retired. He retired on the 30th of August, and that was one of the last paperwork that was actually put through for her to be ejected.
In terms of deciding whether they were going to be responsible for the money, or you would assume the burden of the debt.
If I assume the burden of the debt, because they're going to be responsible for the time that they were living there rent free, not paying taxes, draining the estate.
Right, but you're saying that you're having to make a decision over the $60,000 or $200,000, depending on the way you...
No, because they're saying normally people will sell the house, and then from the sale of the house, pay off the lien. It will come out of there. Any lien holders will get their payment from the sale, and what's left over will be split up between beneficiaries. But in this case, the other beneficiaries already received benefits from the sale of two other properties. I did not.
It's really complicated.
The legal matters, and the legal advice we cannot give. We can only We can only respond to our psychic impression of things. So we have to express that on the air.
Right, I get that. The best case scenario would be for me to pay the lien.
That amount of money. According to our psychic feeling, yes.
Right.
Okay. That your instincts or your formation of mind being the $60,000 lien is the better scenario than $200,000 purchase of the house.
Minus all my other expenses, it was a result of their negligence and malfeasance, basically.
See, that's what and I'm going back to what I'm saying. If there is expenses because of their negligence, I don't understand why the court isn't holding them responsible.
Right,
they're getting
moving
a different
forward.
Judge, but then it would be a different
forward.
Situation paying the lien. I mean, if it's a different judge, perhaps there's a third option where she doesn't have to have such a financial impact. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that possible that the $60,000 could be reduced if you have another judge?
I'm not sure. That's why I was asking you about, like, this, just within my chart, do you see, like, I know that there's a lot of, it's going to be a lot of negotiation and discussions and the numbers. They're going to have to work the numbers, and they're going to have to, I know numbers, so they're going to have to work the numbers.
According to your chart, you don't have an 8, which would be outstanding in terms of a situation like this.
And her 1-5 is a 6, which kind of relates to the 60,000.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a 6 in her year as well. But.
And your year is 65, which
11.
Is an 11. And your master number is 9, so it's higher than the numbers on your linear board. So the difficulty in looking at your chart with the advantage of getting money, that's more difficult to achieve by just looking at your chart.
Right, because with energy work, despite whatever the number system, things can be shifted.
Well here's
possibly.
The thing that's interesting.
And the house number is a 9. The house
yeah,
number
your
is a 9.
But previously,
and the house number is 9 as well.
That's interesting.
Well, 9 and 9 is 18. That's your master number with the house number. But what's interesting here is there's this missing 8. Now, if we go to past life scenarios, previously you were a 26 equals 8. So that means that in that lifetime, the money issue was something. In other words, you should have totally successful in your previous lifetime with money and came into this world without any money problems. Well, you weren't totally successful with money issues in your previous lifetime. So therefore, you have karma in this lifetime with that previous lifetime because there's a missing 8 in the energy. You're a 27-9 now. In your previous lifetime, you were 26-8. But that 8 was not fulfilled. So you've come back, Jackie, to fulfill the lack of mission that you should have done in your previous lifetime. That's why it's difficult.
And likely she has karma with these people she's involved with from the previous life.
Absolutely.
So that's why this is
yes.
This battle is coming up. Now,
but you see, you've been given the opportunity because you're a 9, that's the power number, to make it work in spite of the fact that you don't have an available, easy way to do it. So now the promises or the premises that you're going to succeed and things are going to work out in your favor and you're going to have a couple of scrapes and scratches, but you're going to be successful in getting this done, hell or high water. So the theory is you'll get it done, but the theory also occupies that it's going to be a lot of work to get there because of that karma. So you should go with the 60,000. A new judge may look at this.
Hopefully,
that will reduce your 60. But if it doesn't, you're going to have to work through the process of this 60,000, which is a lot better than the 200 and trying to possess the house in entirety by selling. You know, it's just going to be, it's kind of messy there. I don't think we need to look at that yet.
Okay.
When's your next court date, Jackie?
I don't know.
Nothing's set.
Everything just happened this week. On Monday.
Okay.
They actually ejected her on Monday.
Well, you know, keep us posted on.
I sure will.
When you're scheduled.
I will, because I'm going to go back and listen to everything you said when my mind is clear, because I actually just walked back into school.
Yeah, I know it's hard when you're like, kind of, you know,
you're
at work.
Yeah. Yes, but so far, I'm feeling my way in the dark, and I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, that's good.
I can actually see that.
True. I mean, if we had more time, we would go over the deeper scenario about the $200,000 journey and try to figure out what advantage.
Right. I think that amount is unreasonable because they sold the other properties. It's extremely unreasonable considering the fact that, you know, they benefited with free time. They allowed the place to fall into disrepair and negligence with utilities, everything. So in the end, it's a matter of the strongest argument. Put it this way: it's a three-legged table right now.
Yeah.
It's not going to stand. It's not going to stand one way or the other.
Well, I mean, there's those two outstanding options. I think they both are established on a karmic level. If you're
okay.
saying the 200,000 scenario is much more too difficult for you, you're probably right insofar that even...
It shouldn't be that way. It never was supposed to be that way. In addition to
legal
fees, no, never.
He says it
so.
Couldn't be that way. But the problem is this
karmic
energy that you brought into this lifetime with the people that you're involved
meaning,
in this fight, you know? That's,
meaning,
I mean,
what happened prior? Why would such energy be present?
Well, there is obviously a battle over...
It's
a
property. It's
yeah,
territorial. It's a energy
it's a
field
life.
That has to do with territory and property.
Which is
so there might have been because you're having difficulty in the previous lifetime. You might have had an advantage in the previous lifetime over doing something with territory
where she wasn't,
and you got benefit from it
to the people involved.
Yeah,
and, you know what?
But you weren't fair.
Yeah.
So you got a benefit from that previous lifetime, but you got a karmic point against you with that benefit.
And I have to mention that she's born in January, so that karma shows up in her birth date. I mean, you're dealing with the first chakra with land, and that's in your month, a one.
See?
Also the 6-5. I mean, there's a one between the 6 and the 5, and the 6-5 is an 11, so you've
well,
got this.
But in August, there's your 8. The judge leaves.
Yeah.
And now we're in September, and that's your month. That's your master number.
Nine.
So we're on a date on the chronological order of months. It's corresponding to your previous lifetime and now September to your master number.
Right. And her master number happens to be broken up in the division between 1 and 5 and 5. So you've got a 4 between 1 and 5 and 5
yeah.
solidly in your day. Which also presents an issue because it's that broken energy of the 9.
Yeah. So as we put our first foot forward, psychically speaking, the 60,000 and the future court date could match in your favor to where it's reduced and
hopefully.
That helps you along. But that's okay. the first foot forward right now, Jackie.
And we'll work on it for
okay.
her too,
yeah.
Jackie.
Okay.
Okay, so keep in touch, okay?
I will.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Kristen. Thanks, Neil.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I'll go back and listen later when I'm home.
Please do.
Okay?
And Jackie can follow us. Oh, I cut you off too early. What were you going to say? Sorry. She's not there anymore.
Okay.
So she can follow us on Facebook, which I don't think she ever has. So we would love it if she... joined us there. We are kind of at the end of the show.
Oh, okay. So, we were, you know, we're at the end of the show, but, you know, in the few minutes remaining, the attitude of energy regarding how to make this concrete, let's just wrap up on that one thought, is that the first part is how creative are you in terms of sending energy out to eliminate negative energy in a way that you feel you have conceptualized it and sent it out and it's being transported in that, quote, capsule form. You've got to be
That's
able to...
That's a good visual, actually, for people to use.
Yeah.
Using a capsule. I mean, because when you're a beginner... sending energy out, you really do have to use visualizations. When you're an advanced person that works with energy, I mean, it's just instantaneous. There's not the whole, you know, visualization process and, you
it's
know.
A, there's metaphorical there's benefit if you conceptualize your target as a target, you know, with the rings and then the black pupil in the middle, like an eyeball, the black pupil in the middle, that's where you want to put your arrow. Now what you want to do is create your arrow. And you don't want to create it with hate and all that kind of stuff. You want to create it with an energy field that has an understanding, hopefully, of the purpose, the karma, the idea of what's going to help you transcend through the karma, the good possibly of the result, what it means, what your motives are. If I eliminate this, I can do this. And that's going to be a benefit to the planet, not only a benefit to myself. So you have to make sure it's just not a selfish, like the warrior code.
Well, you
don't want to kill your opponent because it's selfish. The highest mark of a warrior is that when they win their opponent, they don't kill out of selfish motivation. Of course, sometimes there's a righteousness behind that, but there's also a code of honor in battle. And there's a code of honor in karma retribution. And there's a code of arma. A code of honor. I put the two words together and talk about being at the. So a code of honor in karma and eliminating negative energy. There's still a code of armor.
You wear a coat of armor when dealing with negative energy.
That probably brings out honor.
But there are those who are very powerful working with energy that are on a totally dark side of working with energy. So it's possible
you can be effective
on the side of evil and be able to direct energy.
A lot of evil people are effective, but they're going to get karma. That's the whole premise. If you ascribe to karma, you're not going to be evil. You're going to be careful. But if you don't care about karma, or you say, the heck with it, if it's there or not, and you're inherently evil or dark, well, that's unfortunate. But there's a lot to consider, and we've only touched upon the topic.
Yeah, we can continue this on Friday. We will. We will continue this on Friday, and we are back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers and listeners. Sorry about the technical issues, but everything was restored, so that's the good news. Bye-bye.